lists, and man, it just seems like, there's just turmoil. And it's like, man, thankfully, we have an anchor in Christ, a calm in the storm. And praise the Lord that we can rest assured in Him. And let's remember to, things feel volatile or out of control, remember that God is in control. I was praying for our teens and young adults. I was just thinking about them and thinking about, again, just the things that they have to deal with. But, this afternoon we were doing wood a little bit and just finishing up some wood for the season. And I was thinking about the guys that do that on a daily basis. And those are strong guys. Their hands are strong. Their arms are strong. Their legs are strong from strengthening. And if I went to go try and do something, it would be very difficult and hard one day. But after a while, you build up muscles. And we have an opportunity for a generation to be the strongest generation spiritually. Why? Because of all the things that they're fighting against. And let's pray for our young people. As the world tries to knock them down, they have an opportunity to be stronger than ever, and thankful for that. I was thinking about our fasting and on this Sunday, and I don't know about you, but how the year started to how it ended, certainly have learned some things about prayer. And I'm not saying that this has to be church-wide or whatever, but in my life, I'm going to keep it going throughout a long time, and just use the 10th of the month as a fasting day in my life, and maybe invite you to do the same. All right, you have your Bibles out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How many of you work? Anybody work? Good. All right. Mr. Seaman, did you raise your hand? I didn't see. Like, I don't know how. Where are you at with that? Like, okay. You still work, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. It's important to go to work if you have a job. The boss encourages you to work. If tomorrow you called in and said, I'm not feeling well, maybe have a call in sick time, and that's allowed. But after a while, that's going to expire. Say, yeah, but I would like to go to the arcade and play games. I would like to hone in my basketball shot on the moving basketball. I want to try and get high score. I'd like to try and get high score in skee ball. And you explain that to your boss, and the boss says, I think you need another job. So what does this have to do with anything? Well, tomorrow we'll go to work because it's important. We spend time on things that are important. So why is it important to work? Because you like a warm house to live in. You like food in the refrigerator. You like vehicles that move from one side of the town to the other. You like clothes on your back. You like the benefits of work, so therefore you give of your time. So I'm going to ask you tonight, what's the most important thing? What is the most important thing in your life? You may say, my family. My family is the most important thing. My children are the most important thing. Now, family is important, and so are your children. But there's something more important. The most important thing is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel is the most important thing. It's more important than work. It's more important than your family. The salvation of a soul is most important. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. He says this, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A little while ago, we took a short trip over to Trinidad, down to Trinidad. And before we left, I instructed, as per the instruction of Pastor Brad in Trinidad, we all need to be prepared to be able to lead any person to Christ. So we practiced. I gave him a list of Romans Road and how to lead someone to Christ. And some of us had the opportunity. If I were to ask you today, could you lead someone to Christ? Could you share with someone the gospel? You say, well, I don't think I could do that. I'm not sure I know that. Talking to a man a couple weeks ago now. He wanted help in talking to someone else about the gospel. Speaking to him at length about the gospel. Halfway through the conversation, he says, I'm not sure about my own salvation. You know, when we study the gospel and we're placed with that responsibility of sharing the gospel, how many times at the door have you knocked at someone's door asking them if they were to die today, would they spend eternity in heaven or hell? They would respond to, I would hope heaven. Well, how are you going to get there? Well, you know, I don't know. And I play this scenario with the person at the door. I say, all right, let's imagine that this is my house and you just came to my door. And your whole purpose is to tell me how to get to heaven. What would you tell me? And I ask you the same. If I were to ask you to tell someone, if God were to put someone in front of you and they came and grabbed you by the shoulders and said, what must I do to be saved? Could you take them through the gospel? Because that is the most important thing. Say, well, let me invite you to... we ought to, as Christians, be able to share the gospel. We ought to be so familiar with the most important thing. The gospel is the most important thing. There's a lot of things that are important. And now, in your head, maybe you're thinking about, so don't I neglect my family? Listen, if it came down to two things, the gospel or my child, which one's most important? The salvation of a soul? Say, I don't know if I could... I'm here to tell you the gospel is most important. God made the gospel most important. Thankfully, he doesn't ask us to make the exchange. But there have been some that have gone, and at the expense of maybe a child or a spouse, and delivering the gospel to some that have never heard, yet still went forward. Easy? No. But still went forward. Why? Because the most important thing is the gospel. And I'm going to ask you tonight, in your life, is the gospel the most important thing? Familiar verses in Acts chapter 16 and verse 13, Acts 16, 31. Should pay attention to verse 31. It says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Oh, the gospel is so important that those that hear it might believe. John chapter 3. Familiar verses. John chapter 3 and verse 14. John 3:14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Where was Christ lifted up? Well, upon the cross. In verse 15, that whosoever, what does it say? Say that word, whosoever what? Believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish? Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Whosoever believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what is that word again? Believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that, say that word, what is it? Believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Salvation's all about a belief. It's not about a uniform. It's not about a church attendance. It is about a belief in a holy, righteous God and the true consequences of sin, and understanding that Jesus Christ is the only way to save us from our sin. That's what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is. His death paid for our sin. His burial in the grave, but yet 3 days later He resurrected, having victory not only over sin, but over death. Set us free from our sin. Romans chapter 10. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, familiar verses. Say, Pastor, this is Wednesday night. Why are you preaching on the gospel? Because I'm afraid that we as Christians have not kept the gospel the most important thing. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Belief. Verses that Brother Parrott hold very close and dear to his heart, John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Salvation is simple. So simple that a child could understand it. We had the blessing of tonight. We were walking out the house. We had to be here a little bit early. And Sam's like, oh, I think we're supposed to pick up Robert tonight. Okay. So I text Sarah real quick. I said, hey, are we picking up Robert? Yes, please! Exclamation point, like 5 exclamation points. Great, thanks. Thanks for letting me know. I asked Sam, I said, hey, do you know where he lives? He says, yes, I do. He's right around the corner from us. Excellent. Praise the Lord. So there we are. We get him in the car, and he's in the car. Grandma's waving at the door. He is no longer 5, he says. So I'm assuming he's 6. I asked him how old he was. I haven't had a lot of interaction with Robert. My son Sam has spent some time with him. So there's Robert in our car. He's driving. He lives right around the corner from my house. So pretty much the entire ride from his house to church, he's telling me about his father's monster truck that got stuck in the mud. If you've spent any time with Robert, he will tell you all about it. And he told me that story. I feel like it was the same story about 5 times. And I was just listening to his little voice, and I was thinking about the message tonight. I was thinking for whosoever, and I was thinking about little Robert. And I thought, God made it so perfect that even little Robert with 2 T's can ask Jesus Christ to save him. Because as best as he possibly can, in his little, no longer 5-year-old heart, if he asks Jesus Christ to save him, and he believes that he could save him from his sin, God would. And so it was with you. There you were.
Listening to Mrs. Rice tonight, just so thankful for salvation. And we ask in our heart, are we as thankful for our salvation? Do you remember what a mess you were when Christ found you? And yet that gospel. I don't know much, but I trust you. And how does repentance play a part in that? Well, it's giving up the way that you are trying and just admitting that Jesus Christ is the only way. It's turning from man's way and turning to God's. Asking Him to forgive you. What does that produce when we think about that? What happens in my life when I make the gospel the most important thing? I become thankful for my salvation again. There's a great danger in our life if we ever forget that we were once saved. The Bible warns us against it in Peter. What happened? Oh, those are those that have forgotten. I don't want to just not forget. I want it to be on the forefront of my mind and on my heart that I am constantly thankful. Thankful. Not only from what it saved me from, but what it saved me to. Gave me a hope, gave me joy, an abundant Christian life. If you're miserable as a Christian, as Dr. Sam Gipp says, you're not doing it right. No Christian ought to be miserable. I understand there's good days and bad days. But if your course of life has been one of misery, do you remember the gospel? Do you remember that your greatest problem has been solved? So when we make the gospel the most important thing, which it is, we're thankful. And number two, Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. When he had called the people unto him, in verse 34, sorry, did this in our morning devotions, I told him what chapter to go to and then tell him what verse. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do you have a pen? Or something. If you could underline those four words right in the middle of that verse. Let him deny himself. If the gospel's the most important thing, then there is no cost too high than to tell others. There's nothing I would part with, be unwilling to part with in this world to share the gospel. Because it's the most important thing. We love our children. And we would do anything for our children. We would go to great lengths to protect them. But what about the gospel's sake? Would we ever deny ourselves? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole, and I'm going to add a word, entire world and lose his own soul? Is there any cost too high to invest in the gospel? The answer is no. To which, if I'm a true disciple of Christ, there's some area in my life that I've denied myself for the gospel's sake. Could you answer that to God? What area have you denied yourself as a disciple and follower of God Because it says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If I'm to be a follower of Christ, where in my life have I denied myself for the gospel's sake? We were talking last week about our missions conference. Excellent missions conference. I was talking to someone about, ever read a missionary's prayer letter? We scan the prayer letter. We judge the work of the missionary based on what we read on the prayer letter. It's true, is it not? Are they really doing anything? I don't see any names for salvation. I see no baptism pictures. And we begin to ask ourselves the questions. But say, I would never do that. Okay, well, I do. I look at those things and, oh, wow, that's great. You went to the store and you handed out some tracts. But... to which I ask you, what does your prayer letter look like? Last quarter, what did you do for the Lord? Last quarter, what are the names that you... how have you invested in the gospel? If we were to take your prayer letter and put it up on the wall, what would yours say? Hey, pray for this one. I had an opportunity. I think they're close. Pray for this one. Got a chance to lead this person. We do understand that missions is no different, whether across the sea or across the street. Now, I don't think that you should do things to just, in your mind, have something to put on the prayer letter. But how are you investing in the gospel? In what area of your life have you denied yourself? In what area of the comforts of this life had you said, no, I'm not sure we actually need that. That's more of a want. We're going to put that aside and we're going to take that money and we're going to invest it into missions. How much is cable? I don't know. $70, $50, $60, $70 a month? Well, we have the package. You know, we get the phone and the... okay. Say instead of having the fastest, you have the slowest. I couldn't live like that. For the gospel's sake? Is there an area that you could deny yourself for the most important thing? Is my life consumed with the most important thing? Am I ready? Am I ready to give the gospel? I heard the story about a man who had a good number of children. I think he had 10 children, adopted 13 after that, 23 children. Each of his 10 children, he mandated that they would learn 5 languages for the gospel's sake. 3 were mandatory. You had to learn these 3, English, Chinese, and Japanese. But after that, you could pick any 2. And each of his kids learned different languages. And he would encourage them, say, hey, remember, you're learning this foreign language to be able to one day share the gospel with somebody. Am I so committed to the gospel that I'd be willing to learn another language to be able to take it to someone that has never heard? That's what a life looks like that's consumed with the most important thing. We all know what the most important thing in our life is. So what is that? It's me. It's what gets my most attention. Me. I am the biggest threat to the gospel. But if I remember, if I read over 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, at the beginning of my day, and I pray and I ask God, I beg God, God, bring somebody by my way that I could share the gospel with today. And I plead and I beg with him and just pour out my heart 15, 30 minutes before I venture out of my house. What's going to happen? What happens if I make the most important thing the most important thing? How would my life change? I don't know. But I believe God would I believe we would see something that maybe we don't see on a regular basis when I live for me. The most important thing. Simple message tonight, the gospel. Hey, if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you've never bowed your heart, bowed your head, and asked Jesus to save you from your sins, we can have that on a Wednesday night. If you were to die today and you don't know where you'd spend eternity, my oh my, what a great night to get saved. But if you know that, are you thankful? Number two, are you committed to getting it to others? Are we committed to the gospel? Let's all stand. How committed am I to foreign missions? How committed am I to me personally evangelizing and telling others? We have gospel tracts. Brother Bob, are you back there? Do we have gospel tracts on the way out still? Excellent. Stamped with our church address on there? Wonderful. Good job, Mr. Dickinson. And some over here. If there's some that you look and say, do you have more that are... I guarantee Brother Dickinson can find what you're looking for. All right? And he can help you out. Hey, carry the gospel in my pocket. How about in your heart? How about in your mouth? To share the gospel. The most important thing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for saving us. And God, I am thankful. Lord, I'm thankful that you made it simple. God, I'm thankful that as a 10-year-old boy, I could understand the gospel. God, I pray that it would be the most important thing in my life. I pray that I would take it as serious as you do. Lord, I would see people that don't have it as an opportunity to be able to share it. Lord, burden my heart with those things, please, God. Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you for the time to be able to pray together. And Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for your gentleness towards us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. And God, I'm thankful for your kindness and your provision. Lord, forgive me for not sharing that. Lord, I ask you to watch over us now, protect us, and Lord, may we in our own hearts be thankful for what you've done for us. Lord, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.